Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke and from Paul's epistle to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians. If you would stand in honor of the good news of Jesus Christ as you are able. Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 31. Luke writes, "After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus said to him, and Levi got up and he left everything and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to the disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" And from the New Living Translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through 33. "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I, too, try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what's best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved." The Word of God for the people of God. You guys can have a seat. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Give us eyes to see the world the way that you see it. Give us ears to hear your voice, and hearts to receive what you would give us this day and every day. And then make us bold. Make us bold as you send us out into our world to live as your hands and your feet. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On purpose. We talked last week about how we learn very early in life the difference between an accident and on purpose. For instance, we have told our children, what? Do not wrestle, or in the old terminology of the South, don't roughhouse inside the house, in the living room or wherever. And your children, perhaps it was you who was the child, did not heed your warning, and crash. You come storming into the living room or the family room, and the first words out of your little angel's mouths is, it was an accident, or we didn't do it on purpose. My parents didn't buy it, and you probably didn't buy it from your children either, because while they did not intentionally break the lamp or the vase, or maybe even at your home it was the TV, little Johnny totally jumped off the back of the couch in an effort to body slam or pile drive his older brother on purpose and with purpose. He intended to maim and disfigure his brother. But the truth is if they had not been doing what they were told not to do, where they were told not to do it, when they were told not to be doing it, then the lamp or the vase would still be intact, and you know, the vase or the TV was simply a casualty of war. It wasn't on purpose. It was an accident. Accidents seem to be what happens whenever we're doing what we should not be doing on purpose, right? Do you live your life on purpose? Or is everything in your life accidental? Is your living and your doing, your loving, is it merely happenstance? Do you believe that where you are in your life, where you work, what activities you're involved in, and who you are surrounded by, do you believe it's only a coincidence? Or perhaps, just perhaps, you are there on purpose? Has God placed you where you are intended to be on purpose? The author of Proverbs writes in chapter 16, verse 9, he writes, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." You are not an accident. And your purpose is not merely accidental. You were created by God and for God. And until you come to understand that, you may very well spend your life floundering about, wondering, surely there's more to life than work and play and possessions and my happiness or the happiness of my children, trials, temptations. Isn't there more to life? Pastor and New York Times bestselling author Rick Warren begins his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, with the words, "It's not about you." It's a rather peculiar way to begin a book that most people label a self-help book. Warren writes, "Without God, life makes no sense." And our culture is going to try to convince you of what? Your purpose or the truth can be found if you just dig deep enough within yourself. If you meditate long enough, you will find the meaning of life and your purpose will be revealed to you. To which I would say, if that were true, don't you think you would have told yourself that already? Why are you hiding it from yourself if it's within you? Why wouldn't it be obvious? Why wouldn't you reveal the answers to life to yourself if you had them? Playing a cruel joke on yourself? Is your subconscious going, "I know all the answers, I'm just not going to tell you"? I mean, telling someone who is lost and empty that they can discover the meaning of life is like telling someone who does not know how to properly use a vacuum cleaner, they need to have a conversation with the vacuum cleaner. Right? I mean, you don't ask a vacuum cleaner or a lawnmower or even your cell phone. I know you can have a conversation with Siri. I mean, that's obvious. But you don't ask the device what its intended purpose or use is. No, you consult the owner's manual, or you reach out to the company via their website or their FAQs, or you have a conversation with the manufacturer about the device that they created. So why on earth does our society and some of our religions even tell people to look deep within themselves to discover their intended purpose and the meaning of life? It's not found within us. It's found without us. And it is not a thing. It is a person. And we believe it is Jesus Christ. If you want to discover your purpose and bring greater meaning to your life, you must begin with God, the Creator. Have a conversation with the manufacturer of you. Paul writes in Colossians, everything got started in Him, and it finds its purpose in Him. Our ultimate purpose is to glorify God in all we do on purpose. So is there more to life than just work and play and possessions and happiness and trials and temptation? Is there more to life than simply drifting from one moment to the next and ebbing and flowing with the tides of life? I thought that an appropriate analogy given all the hurricanes we've had. Is there more? In the story we read from the Gospel of Luke about the calling of Levi, we know him as Matthew. Levi and Matthew are the same person. I believe that in this calling, his encounter with Jesus was no accident. I believe Jesus intentionally wound up where he was on purpose, and that this was a divine appointment that Jesus had already predetermined would take place. Now, why do I believe this? If you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus doesn't seem to just stumble into anything. I mean, he seems to go places on purpose and interact with people or groups of people on purpose. I mean, there are people that create moments with Jesus, for instance, touching the hem of his garment or seeking him out to heal someone or dropping a friend down into his lap. But Jesus, throughout the Gospels, seems to be laser focused on his mission, doesn't he? He is acutely aware that his time on earth is not infinite, which I find totally ironic. the Son through whom all things were created, the Son who always was and always will be, the Son realizes that the amount of time that he has on earth to pour into the lives of others is finite. His time is limited. So Jesus doesn't beat around the bush. In most instances, he gets right to the point. Jesus, living with purpose for Jesus, means calling a core group of followers, then pouring into their lives, and then equipping them to continue the mission after he does what? After he returns to the Father. And that mission is very clear. Tell the world about me and why I came, which was to glorify the one who sent me. Go spread the good news. Go teach, baptize. Living with purpose for Jesus was relationship-centered. Always involved people. It was not an ideology or a theology. It was a relationship. Identify a potential relationship. Engage or interact with that person or those people. Invest in that relationship or those relationships. Either teaching, performing a miracle of some kind, or just having dinner. And then send that person or those people out on a mission to establish other relationships. We read that pattern over and over, don't we, in Scripture? Over and over again. So back to today's story. Calling of Levi, we know him as Matthew, okay? I don't believe that this was his first encounter with Jesus, and I don't have evidence of this. I just think that Levi had been watching Jesus from his tax collecting booth in the center square of wherever he was. He'd been watching Jesus interact with people and listening to Jesus' teaching. I believe he did this from a distance. And perhaps he was thinking to himself, that's all well and good for those people, but their lives are not as complicated as mine. I'm a tax collector. Sure, Jesus can forgive the sins of ordinary people, but not people like me. And I believe that Jesus noticed Matthew, and then he locked eyes with him. Locked eyes with him. Not just a passing glance where then he looked away quickly. He locked eyes with him, looked him right in the eye, perhaps even shook his head in affirmation, you know, that I've come for people just like you, even you. And I don't have evidence to prove any of this, but I think that Jesus and Matthew had this conversation of the eyes where Jesus is looking at him and shaking his head, maybe offering a hand gesture, and Matthew's doing the me. But then Jesus moved beyond the passive engagement and went to the direct interaction on purpose and with purpose. And he said, Levi, because Jesus always calls us by name. Levi. Yes, Jesus. Follow me. That was it. That was it. And Luke writes that Levi got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. Wow! But what happens next is fascinating to me. Because Matthew, or Levi, throws a great banquet, a Matthew party, if you will. He throws it at his home. It's for Jesus and all of his new, all jacked up on Jesus buddies, right? But then he also invites his old tax collecting buddies, too. And I think he did this on purpose. He was just wondering, I'm guessing, what happens if my tax collecting buddies, and now you remember, in all circumstances where it's mentioned, you have tax collectors and sinners, okay? Sinners, regular sinners, thieves, robbers, prostitutes, didn't want to be lumped in with the other group of people known as tax collectors, because they were even worse. So he wonders, what happens if I invite all my tax collecting buddies, and then I got all my jacked up on Jesus people, along with Jesus himself, to my house for the evening?
Was he wondering to himself, if Jesus can change my life in a glance and a look and a simple invitation, follow me, imagine how many of my friends' lives he could change over the course of an evening of conversation. Now, once Matthew had accepted the invitation, follow me, he began living with purpose. He took on this mission and purpose of Jesus Christ, which was and is to bring honor and glory to the one who sent him, to glorify God. And that's ultimately our purpose. See, once we accept that invitation, follow me, then we are supposed to glorify God in all that we do. Now, how we do that varies from person to person. And that is an individual experience of self-discovery. But why we do it, that's one purpose. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, we read, whatever you do, if you eat, if you drink, whatever you're doing, do it all for the glory of God. And you may have to sacrifice something. Give up what you want for the good of what someone else needs. Why? So that other people can be saved. So other people can have this encounter with Jesus. Because he extends that same invitation to those people too. The same one to Levi, the same one to you. Follow me. And in order to discover our purpose, we must first respond affirmatively to that invitation. Follow me. Jesus found Levi at the tax collecting booth, didn't he? Do you remember where he found you? Living a life with purpose means that you are intentionally reaching out to the lost and the broken and inviting them to meet the one who you are following, the one who made you whole. Because remember, we were all lost and broken at one point. Are you just going through the motions of everyday life? Or are you living your life with purpose? Do you notice the people around you who are hurting or struggling? Or are you so consumed with your life that you fail to see others? Have you ever thrown a Matthew party at your house where you invite some of your old friends from this life before you came to church, some of your tax collecting buddies, and now some of your new friends who are all jacked up on Jesus? What would happen if you just threw them together? Not for a Bible study, just for a barbecue. Just have a conversation. Would you be so bold as to live with purpose and engage those outside of your tight-knit group of family and friends, you know, the comfortable circle that you find yourself in? Will you take a risk? Begin living with purpose. Will you be like Jesus and intentionally look across the room and not just a passing glance, but lock eyes with someone and then walk across the room and have a conversation with them and extend that invitation to me or to them? Follow me. Today, we're going to receive Holy Communion. The table is set and the invitation is clear. Follow me and live your life with purpose.